Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, creepies, and welcome to episode 141. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And guess what? We are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, Nate and Sean?
Holy cow, we still middle-aged, and we're still creeped out?
That's right.
I like it.
Last time I checked.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you check for that? Nate,
oh, trust me. All I have to do is look
under
in the mirror.
Hood.
It's middle-aged and creepy. I get creeped out when I, yeah. Anyway.
You guys sound funny.
Do we?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm getting like a head cold or something.
Oh,
so like my ears.
Oh
really
gosh, oh, I was like, "Crap, do we have to start over?"
No,
it just like
sounds funny.
Well, we are funny, and I don't know what
funny
else
looking.
To say about that.
That's
not funny looking. That's right. You guys doing okay though? Having a good week so far?
Yeah, doing good.
Good, Sean.
Fantabulous,
Jonathan.
Jonathan,
as Nate calls you.
That's right.
Yeah, it is Wednesday. I think I'm having a good week. Not as good as I had last week, but it's could be a lot worse, but it could have been a lot better.
You stop.
It's more annoying, not bad. It's just more annoying. Well, good. We are here.
Are you saying it was a bad week to stop sniffing glue?
Yeah, I picked the wrong week to stop taking Quaaludes. We are here, episode 141. Let's get started with the dad. Guess what it is, though?
Riddle?
No, it's not a dad joke or a dad riddle.
What is it?
It is a dad knock-knock joke.
Oh, knock-knock joke. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't done a knock-knock joke, have I?
I might actually get this.
Well, maybe. All right. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Spell.
Spell who?
Okay, W-H-O.
Spell who?
See?
I kind of mumbled it.
Spell who?
Spell who?
Spell who?
And then I say, okay, W-H-O.
See? Oh.
You like that, Nate?
Boo-hoo.
Now you got Nate crying.
You know what? I'm going to give you a bonus real quick.
Oh,
uh-oh.
Bonus!
Because I had this saved and I deleted it by accident. So here you go. This is more of a riddle. So okay, this guy, his name's Paul. Paul's height is 6 feet. Mm-hmm. He's an assistant at a butcher shop. He wears a size 9 shoe, but what does he weigh?
Meat.
Boom! Ding, 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 ding. Boom!
That's good.
Nailed it. Nate, you can't pull one away.
You can't. I'm sitting there thinking,
you know, sharp what? Like his knife.
Sharp like his meat-cutting knife. Nate Louse. Yeah, meat. There you go. That's the dad, knock-knock, and riddle of the show.
I like
that?
It a lot.
How about that? All right, let's move into the announcements. Mr. Sean, what do you got for us?
I have the first part of the announcements, and they go something like this. We obviously always congregate every week. I say Wednesday, but normally Wednesdays. And for guy time, creepy time, paranormal activity, well, kind of. But the most important thing that we do is to build a community for mental health. So we want you to get help out there. So you can call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
Facts.
This is true.
That is facts. That is true.
Betsy Kolakowski actually reached out. You've heard her?
Mm-hmm. BK.
Author, yeah. That's
not
right.
The BK killer, but
that's right. That's right. She's a friend of ours, friend of the show.
What's up with Betsy?
She put on there that guy had committed suicide. That,
oh, yeah,
that she,
yeah.
She didn't know him directly.
Like a storm chaser.
Yes, and committed suicide and had an ominous text of, like, I've been dreading this day, and that was the last thing he put. And she had said, hey, same thing, like, give this information out, get help, please, you know, don't live on an island.
Nope.
So, and I know, that it makes you think about how fragile we are.
We are, and it's like, oh, my gosh, if somebody, that's the last thing, like, they have no hope, and that's what they think they have to do to escape, mm-hmm. and to stop it. And it's not, I get it why it's in their head, because I've had that too, but then you have to gather yourself and you just have to go, okay, no, not, you just have to hang on. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
And do what you need to do is get help. But yeah, you cannot remove yourself from friends or family. You just need that one person and just tell them, look, I don't need you to solve it. I need you to just listen. And if it's that, you know, and then, but get professional help if it's that bad.
Well, I was, I feel like I was getting into what I was calling, and I'm not trying to be facetious or funny, but suicide light, you know, where it's like, oh, I don't want to die, but it like, if I didn't wake up tomorrow.
No, we've talked about that.
Or if, you know, life would be better without me kind of feelings. And then you get, I mean, that starts to slide into some serious dark, you know, areas. So, yeah, I mean, it just compiles. So getting help really, really does help. I can attest to that.
Yeah. Sometimes I say that stuff. And like, I mean, like sometimes I'm really in a dark place.
Yeah.
And I mean it. And sometimes I say that because I'm just accustomed to saying it, even though I don't really, I'm not going to go out to my car and turn, you know, sit in there.
Oh,
and
yeah. Right.
But
yeah.
Like, I it's like my, and I don't like that. I'm like, I shouldn't even put that in my head. But
no,
yet I
know.
Can't, you know, like, where I know I'm not serious. I'm not even planning on anything, but it's like, I don't want to even just mention it. But
yeah,
sometimes it's hard not to, you know? But yes, do what you need to do to get help. We love you guys. So, yeah, that was a heartbreaking post that Betsy posted. So let's move on to the shout outs and special announcements. I don't have any special announcements. Sean, do you have any shout outs you want to give?
I do not.
Man, you've been kind of slacking lately. Well, I mean, you did go like two episodes in a row.
I did.
And then I think you did one last week.
Yeah, we did. Well, we kind of like split up ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
A couple because
yeah. Nate, you have any shout outs?
Negative.
Negatory.
Every time I listen to our episodes, I don't listen to them like I used to, but I'll listen to the beginning and the end of it, you know. And it still cracks me up when he's like, nope, I don't know. I laugh.
When you say I don't.
I laugh on the show and I laugh listening to the show.
When you say I don't listen to it like I used to, like on a bearskin rug with a box of chocolates and I used to listen to it. No, I'm kidding.
No, never mind.
That's just embarrassing.
No, no, how'd you know?
How did I exactly? I didn't describe any further.
That's a visual that the creepies do not
do
need.
Do not need.
And
heck no.
Here's our. Can you hear our downloads going?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I do have two announcements. Shout outs. First one is our good brother Jim Coverdale here in Plainfield, Indiana. So anytime soon, he is going to be a granddad for the first time. So his daughter, Courtney, husband, Cameron, and they already know what they're going to have. It's going to be a baby boy named Calvin. So Cameron, Courtney, and then when Calvin comes, shout out to Jim and his daughter.
I thought you were going to say they already know it's going to be human.
It's
like,
no, it's a lizard baby. No,
it's a lizard
baby. Yeah, so shout out to Jim and his wife, Chrissy, and they're going to be grandparents. And then their other daughter is due as well in a few months. So
congratulations.
They got married like within, I think, the same month or within a few weeks of each other. Now they're close to having babies together. So
fun.
I know. So shout out to Jim. And then I'm going to give a shout out to my our baby boy. He loves to hear that when he's 12. Elijah had oral surgery yesterday. He had a tooth that has never come down. So it was literally up near his nose. Ugh. So they had to pull it down. And they waited, though, until it turned into an adult tooth instead of pulling a baby tooth.
Yeah.
There'd be no point. So they yanked that sucker down, and they and then now he can, in 2 weeks, get his braces redone. And then that way it'll fit with everything else. So he's in some pain. He's sore. So he missed all day yesterday. Then he went to school like a tough guy today because he had projects to do. And so we were very proud of him to go, hey, I need to go in, get my projects done. And then he was like, but I'm out after the second period.
Yeah, right.
I picked him up. But he's at home. He's got painkillers. But, you know, your mouth, man, it like everything hurts. But, man, when you do have, like, I remember how wisdom teeth taken out.
Oh,
That was rough.
Hurts,
That was bad. But he's got the gauze up in his, you know, in the top of his mouth. And he said, I said, the kids say anything? He's like, yeah. And they weren't really, like, teasing him, but they were just, like, you know, curious. And he goes, yeah, they kept going, what? Why are you chewing your gum like that? Why do you have your gum in the roof of your mouth? He goes, it's gauze, not gum. So I said, oh, boy, kids. But anyway, so shout out to my boy for getting that done and stepping up to get his projects done. And then now the pup, he's home. The puppy's taking care of him. They're laying
That's
on
cool.
him. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so.
Yeah, people don't realize how, like dangerous dental work can be, and like how, you know, I mean, it's an open wound and it is high risk for infection. So they put you on antibiotics and all that kind of stuff for that reason. But
yeah,
it is, it's serious stuff. And it does. Yeah. It, like we were talking about heads and mouths are painful. You know, those are some of the worst pains you get.
Shoulders, knees and toes.
Yeah.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes.
And mouth.
And mouths. Neck. Yeah. Yeah, so my boy, he'll be all right. He's got his first basketball practice tomorrow. So we're hoping that he can go to school tomorrow, because he's got to, you know, if he doesn't, then he's not going to practice.
Is he playing rec?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so is Williams.
Yep, so there you go. That's my shout out. So I don't think where are we at? Oh, yeah. Sean, what are we going to talk about?
Hold on just a second.
Oh,
I was
going
to say, I'll see you tomorrow at the basketball, but I won't because William has his first orchestra concert, so he's going to do that, playing the violin.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, so shout out to
William. And I'm the special person. Everybody gets to pick a special person, and I was really proud of it because he's like, you're my special person. And Jenna goes, yeah, there's something. You're special something.
he's special, all right.
He's a
service animal.
All the special people come up. You know, like
service dad.
Put a straight jacket on me and drag me up there.
That's cool.
So we'll see what happens.
No, I wouldn't be. You wouldn't see me at practice.
I think I'm
going to
be the butt of some joke. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen.
I didn't want to say
it'll be interesting.
Nate, right? The butt of something.
We'll see.
We don't do since he's older. We don't go to their practices. We do that.
Yeah.
And see, when I grew up, we talked about that. A buddy of mine. We're like, our moms and dads didn't go to our practices. They dropped us off, and they weren't that hang around.
No,
you know, then when we're parents, we like to see them when they're young to see.
But then the older they have, closed practices anyway.
You do your thing, man. I don't have time. Yeah. So anyway, well, yeah, good shout out to William too, and hope that goes well. So Sean, what are we going to talk about?
This is my pick, and it is on Haunted White House.
Whoa,
woo! Not just any White House either. Not that White House is a couple
I was thinking
down.
Maybe do like a haunted crack house, but
what's some more days on? sorry, that's deep,
or a
deep
haunted greenhouse. That'd be really creepy. Ooh, look at the plants and the flowers.
I used to live by a pink house.
Nate's trying to process that. Like, maybe we could do it.
I don't know.
We used to live, when I grew up, we lived next door to a pink house. I swear. And we did not live
little
in Florida.
Little pink houses.
Little pink
houses. For you and me.
For you and me. It was very John Mellencamp, but it really was a pink house.
I have seen a pink house.
Kokomo, Indiana.
Yeah. Rich story.
Like that. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end. Ish.
Amy and I, we in Pike, there's a purple house. Literally, it's purple. I'm like, wow, that's
making a statement.
Oh, that was a micro.
That was you.
I haven't done one in a while. Yeah, that's what you call, notice, look at us, look at our house. Purple house. Purple rain. Okay. Do you want to give some, I don't know what type of foundation you have for this.
I got a good one. It's on Summarizer. The White House, the primary residence of the president, who's the president, of the United States, has a long history of reported hauntings. Some people believe that past presidents, first ladies, their children, and various other long dead personages have been spotted wandering the rooms and corridors of the executive mansion. Da 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 da.
Hmm.
You'll never believe some of them, right?
No.
All right.
No, I won't believe them. You're not going to make me.
Lincoln, Winston Churchill. We talk about them all the time, right?
Is Al Capone?
Al Capone has had to have been there at
He's
some point,
be
right?
There. I mean, him and Winston Churchill.
He's probably trying to break in.
They're everywhere.
Breaking bread.
Breaking bread. Bacon bread. No. Breaking. So you want to start? You have a story, Sean, since it's your
well, I was going to go over a little bit some of the famous ghosts that have been spotted there. Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill is definitely has been in there. But he was a visitor, honestly, and he actually got to see Lincoln's ghost. But we'll talk about that in just a minute. Other famous ghosts include Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, Dolly Madison, John Tyler, William Henry Harrison. They have been part of so many White House diplomatic meetings, grand parties, and other important declarations. But it is basically every president that's gone through there that is now deceased is basically on this list. And their wives, Eleanor Roosevelt, I saw that was, you know, on there. Like, come on. Roosevelt's got to go by now. I mean, come on, that's been a long time.
Right.
But yeah, it's amazing just how many different people have gone through there. And then they also, I mean, if you think about it, the public goes through there and storms through there every day. So just imagine the amount of energy that goes through there. And then there's actual family is always living there, you know, as the president and his family's there. So,
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff in the White House.
They don't try to hide it either. they have a whole write-up on their government website for the White House.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Like, so you're like an official.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's whitehousehistory.org. White House ghost stories.
Nice.
This Lincoln being the main one that you hear about a lot, it says it is many have had witness to the ghost of Abraham Lincoln in the rooms and hallways of the executive mansion. Ronald Reagan reportedly said that, because I heard that Lincoln actually reported Reagan, though. Ronald Reagan reportedly said that the room known as the Lincoln bedroom, which was actually Lincoln's office and cabinet room when he was in office, was the only one his dog Rex refused to enter. Lincoln's wandering spirit was allegedly spotted by visiting foreign dignitaries such as Queen Wilhelmina, that sounds made up, of the Netherlands, and UK Prime Minister Winston Churchill. The antidote was retold in Howard J. Sherman's World Folklore for Storytellers. That one, we've told the one about Churchill before, where he gets out of the bath and he's naked, and then he stands and he sees, I love it though, he's by the mantle, like Abraham Lincoln's by the mantle, you know, the fireplace, and just kind of looking at Winston, and Winston says, "Why, Mr. President, you've caught me at a disadvantage, you know." And then Abraham Lincoln disappears. Do you remember that? I mean, that was like one of our first episodes, I think, that we talked about.
No, I remember that. But
we
got
a good
about
blooper off
part.
That one, too.
Did we?
Did we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's when you...
I'll forget.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Gosh, that's been years ago now.
that was funny.
But I love that. That
he's panicking. He's like, Winston Churchill?
Winston Churchill, they said, handled it very... Oh, I forgot about
that. That was at your house, right?
That was the old studio.
That was early on when we were rookies.
Right. We had no idea what we were doing.
That was great.
Okay, I had no idea what I was doing.
He's like,
just staring at us. Now those bloopers are so much more seamless.
I thought maybe like had some medical issue going on.
That was my first stroke, right?
Yeah,
that kind of started it all.
He's seasoned.
Hit the panic button. Somebody hit the panic button.
Get him some candy or sugar. I thought maybe he was going to.
Oh, I did. I had a total like. Yeah. Reset moment.
Okay, so I got a story here.
Yeah.
Says, one lonely night, I can't read. On a lonely night in 1946, President Harry S. Truman went to bed at 9 p.m. About 6 hours later, he heard it. Knock, knock, knock. That's not the knock-knock joke. The sound against his bedroom door awakened him. He wrote to his wife in a letter that is archived in his presidential library and museum. He said, "I jumped up and put on my bathrobe, opened the door, and no one was there," he wrote. "Went out, looked up and down the hall, looked in your room and Margie's. Still no one. Went back to bed after locking the doors, and there were footsteps in your room whose door I'd left open. Jumped and looked, and no one was there. The damn place is haunted sure as shooting." I love that. Sure as shooting. I'm going to remember that. Says Secret Service said not even a watchman was up here at that hour. "You and Margie had better come back and protect me before some of these ghosts carry me off." And it says, let's see. Yeah, that's it. So that was kind of a funny little story from Harry S. writing to his wife. That's funny.
There's a certain individual that worked at the White House from 1901 to 1904. Jeremiah Jerry Smith started working at the White House during the Ulysses S. Grant administration in the 1860s as a footman. And served as a footman, butler, cook, doorman, and official duster until his retirement approximately 35 years later. A popular character and storyteller, reporters could always count on Smith on a slow news day. He claimed to have seen the ghost of Lincoln, Grant, McKinley, and several first ladies.
Whoa, that's a lot.
It is.
Man. Oh, Ulysses, huh?
Ulysses.
Interesting.
I think it's interesting also that not just Lincoln's ghost, but his son's ghost is there. So Willie Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's second son, Willie Lincoln, died in the White House of typhoid fever at the age of 11. First Lady Mary Lincoln was said to be inconsolable at the loss of her son and held seances in the Red Room in hopes of communicating with him. During the 1870s, members of the Grant administration would report seeing Willie's ghost in the Executive Mansion. There's also John Adams' wife, Abigail Adams. I think this is interesting. Abigail Adams, wife of President John Adams and the nation's second first lady, famously hung her laundry, or probably more accurately supervised the hanging of the laundry, to dry in the East Room of the White House, giving rise to another ghostly legend. It says the first lady would hang the wash. And she, according to legend, her ghost, Abigail Adams' ghost, can be found wandering the East Room, followed by the smell of clean laundry. The majority of these sightings and smells of Abigail Adams and her washing reportedly occurred during the Taft administration, when both servants and family members reporting sensing her presence and even seeing her walk through the closed door. She walks, according to the accounts, with her arms outstretched as if holding clean linens. Isn't that wild, though? But you smell clean linen. That's a good thing. Yeah,
that's
she's hard at work.
Yeah.
Dirty laundry.
It's a good song.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
Yeah. Here's a couple paragraphs here, or maybe more. So they're talking about, it says, in addition to its political ghosts, the White House has long housed unsettling specters of a different, more bump-in-the-night kind. If numerous former leaders and their staff members are to believe. Now it says, whether one embraces or mocks the paranormal, the many accounts that have spilled out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue over two centuries give ghosts an undeniable place in the country's history. They also make that address arguably the nation's most famous haunted house. It says, the sightings, which have been documented in eerie detail by scholars and newspapers, involve a former president who appears when the nation needs a leader most. A daughter who pleads in vain to help her doomed mother, and a first lady who is sadly perpetually stuck doing laundry. Says Jared Broach, I guess I'm pronouncing his last name right, is the founder of the company Nightly Spirits, which offers tours of the haunted areas in several cities across the country. But when Broach started the tours in 2012, he offered only one, the White House. He says the White House has the best ghost stories, and I'll call them the most verified, Broach said. Honestly, we could do a 10-hour tour if we really wanted to.
Oh, wow.
He says one of his favorite stories is about David Burns, who sold the land where the White House sits and whose voice has been reportedly heard in the Oval Office. It says, I'm Mr. Burns, Broach would always say.
It's like The Simpsons.
Yeah, right. Which always say during tours when he got to that part of the story. Asked if he believes in ghosts, Broach said. He says, for sure, and then pointed to more prestigious authorities. And he says, and he ends it, says, if I said no, I'd be calling about 8 different presidents liars.
Ooh. Mm. So. Do you think there's Smithers there, too?
Smithers, yeah.
Yeah, Barrett, yeah.
So anyway.
1911. One little-known spirit is the unidentified 15-year-old boy called The Thing.
Oh, that's wild.
That doesn't sound good.
Or thing. That greatly frightened the Taft domestic staff in 1911. President Taft's military aide, Major Archibald Butt, wrote...
Butte?
Just kidding. No, there's no E at the end of it.
Oh, darn.
Wrote to his sister, Clara. The ghost, it seems, is a young boy, about 14 or 15 years old. They say that the first knowledge one has of the presence of the thing is a slight pressure on the shoulder, as if someone were leaning over your shoulder to see what you might be doing. President Taft ordered Butt to tell the White House staff that the first member to repeat stories about the thing would be fired.
Oh,
that's creepy.
It is super creepy. I love it. I've never heard that before.
I haven't
ever.
Either.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Never have I heard that.
Well, we can't say that now.
I haven't.
We've heard it.
This is true.
That's right.
So not never ever, though. Okay.
That's right.
Until now. This one I've never heard of either until now. Anna Surratt, the creepiest ghost story to have haunted the White House was surely that of Anna Surratt, the daughter of Mary Surratt, who was convicted of aiding in the assassination of Lincoln and was hanged for the crime in 1865. In an article for the White House Historical Association, Colleen Shogan wrote, according to lore, the daughter of Mary Surratt can be heard frantically knocking on the front door of the White House, pleading for President Andrew Johnson to spare her mother's life before she was executed for conspiring to kill Lincoln. After her mother's conviction, Anna Surratt did petition for her mother's life. She traveled to the White House to meet with President Johnson, but was denied entrance. To no avail, a fellow condemned conspirator attested to her innocence before the execution. Mary Surratt's involvement was never definitely resolved. The lack of clarity about Mary Surratt's role in the assassination undoubtedly led to the prevalence of this ghostly tale featuring her daughter's continued and unresolved suffering. So she's still at the door knocking.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy? That'd be scary.
Another knock knock.
That's right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Spell, right.
Yeah, this old White House, man, has a lot of, well, yeah, just think of all the history and all the people that have gone through it, not just the presidents and the staff, but man, just all the stuff that's seen, that particular house has seen. We talked about Dolly Madison.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Says that the stories about her are to be believed seems to have chosen a better eternal pastime, taking care of the garden. During the Woodrow Wilson administration, staff members reported seeing her ghost as they were about to move the Rose Garden. They apparently decided afterward to leave it where she wanted it. The First Lady is also connected to another storied Washington location. When the British burned down their home during the War of 1812, she and President James Madison moved to the Octagon House on the corner of 18th Street and New York Avenue Northwest, making it the temporary White House. Do you guys know that? I didn't know that either.
Oh, no, I did know that. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Yeah.
I remember loosely, the burning, but yeah. I couldn't have told like who was in there. Anyway, unexplained occurrences there have been linked to the deaths of three women, including two daughters of the wealthy man who built the house. In both incidents, according to newspaper accounts, the women had argued with their father about who they wanted to marry and then fell from the same staircase. It says bells could be heard in the house when no one was there to ring them, reads a 1969 Washington Post article about the location. Quote, a specter of a girl in white could be seen slipping up the stairway. Terrifying screams and morbid groans could be heard emanating from the White House, from the house. Some insisted that it was impossible to cross the hall at a foot of the stairwell on certain days without unconsciously going around some unseen obstacle on the floor. Goes in a little bit deeper, but yeah, that's creepy.
Hmm.
So they both fell from the staircase.
That is scary.
Very creepy. Yeah.
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew, I've heard of him. Drew, yes. Jackson, we call him.
Yes. Andrew Jackson, supposedly.
Drew Jack.
Lying in his bed in the Queen's room, which is the Rose Room, lets out a guttural laugh that has been heard in the White House since the 1860s. Mary Lincoln claimed to have heard Jackson stomping and swearing.
Huh. So he does a gutturally laugh. I like that. Is that a gutturally?
Big old belly laugh.
Yeah.
Boo ha ha ha, right?
Kind of like they always say like, they talk about like demons, and so they have like a guttural sound, like that growling. That's what I kind of.
Get your attention.
Although,
that's
right. Although this would be a little less intimidating at least it's a laugh. Although it could be a demon imitating the president.
Sinister laugh.
Sinister. That's right. That's a good word.
I don't think Lincoln ever wanted to let go of this place because there are so many different sightings of him. It says President Theodore Roosevelt, who took up residence in the house nearly 40 years after Lincoln's death, said, I saw him in different rooms and in the halls. He admitted, in truth, it comes as no surprise that Roosevelt may have attracted the ethereal presence of Lincoln as he greatly admired the former leader and quoted his speeches and writings often. So he just summoned him, right? During the terms of President Calvin Coolidge, his wife Grace actually encountered Lincoln. She stated that he was dressed in black with a stole draped over his shoulders to ward off drafts and chills of Washington's night air. She explained that one day, as she passed by the yellow oval room, she was startled to see Lincoln staring out the window in the direction of the Potomac, his hands behind his back. Lincoln turned and looked momentarily in her direction and then vanished. During his tenure in the White House, the room had been Lincoln's library, and he often stood at the same window looking out with his thoughts filled with the course of the war. At that same window, Lincoln's spirit has also been seen and felt by others, including the poet and Lincoln biographer Carl Sandburg. He also stated that he felt Lincoln's presence close to him in the yellow oval room. President Herbert Hoover was also hearing mysterious sounds in the White House. Although he never acknowledged that it was Lincoln's ghost, Hoover left no doubt that he had heard something in the darkened corridors that he could not explain.
Do you think Lincoln, since I mean, if you're a president, you're obviously an important person. But the way he died, you know, he got assassinated, got mm-hmm. his life cut short, and then but what he had to deal with as far as like, you know, the Civil War and setting the slaves free, that could be a reason he's mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe hanging
or
around
because
he was involved in so much, like,
yeah,
not that a president. I wonder if every president is involved in something, but man,
I wonder if just because of the way he was, died, like, I know. You know, he was unaware. It just happened.
Really
quick.
I know.
That maybe he doesn't realize that he died.
Yeah.
So
true.
He's still there trying to work.
I know. That's. I mean, I think, I don't know. Like, he's so. I mean, all these presidents, but I mean, obviously Lincoln gets talked about
mm-hmm.
just as much as any of them. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe has. That's what I'm thinking about Lincoln.
Thinking about Lincoln. It's no stinking thinking about Lincoln.
Yeah, that's right. A little more on Truman. So it says, after Truman wrote to his wife about the knocks on his door, it says the president's daughter wrote him back. Margaret Truman, in a 1986 biography of her mother, said she and her mom were skeptical of the existence of ghosts, presidential or otherwise, and she wrote her father saying, so it says, in his reply, he said, I'm sure they're here. I'm not so much alarmed at meeting up with any of them. Says, I am sure old Andrew Jackson could give me good advice and probably teach me good swear words. That's funny. Like what you said, Nate. He wrote, according to the book, he says, I am sure old Grover Cleveland could tell me some choice remarks to make to some political leaders. So I won't lock my doors or bar them either if any of the old coots in the pictures out in the hall want to come out of their frames for a friendly chat. He called them old coots. That's good stuff, though. That is really good stuff.
William Henry Harrison.
Yeah.
Haunts the attic.
Oh.
Ooh, the attic.
Yeah. Okay. He was the first president to die in the White House.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why he's in the attic, but that's where he haunts.
That's right. That's our guy. Isn't it Harrison? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's our president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And he's down on downtown, his house. Have you seen it?
William, or that's, Fort Benjamin Harrison.
Oh, that's
Benjamin Harrison.
Harrison.
I'm sorry. Gosh, yeah, I was sitting there thinking, my brain's all mashed potatoes.
I knew it was Harrison. Yeah, that's right. Benjamin Harrison's from Indiana.
Yeah, yeah, mine's watered down oatmeal most of the time.
William Harrison, that's right.
So my brain's.
William Henry.
But I was
not.
Like, no. Yeah, Fort Benjamin Harrison.
Sorry, yeah, I'm glad you said, because somebody was said.
I used to work not too far from there, so I had to stop and think about it.
I know. I have seen Benjamin Harrison, not inside, but I've driven by him many a time mm-hmm. when I work downtown. But yeah, that's right, Benjamin Harrison.
Oh. How Indiana are you? Gosh. Tonight, not very much.
Nope. I was going to say about the White House. It'd be kind of cool to take a tour. I'd like to mm-hmm. check it out sometime.
I was able to stand outside the gate and look at
did
it.
Did you? That's right. Is it pretty huge? I mean, it looks massive. Like from.
It's not as big as what you think it is.
Does it look?
No? And it's weird because the way they film it and show it on TV and that kind of stuff, it's like you think like there's all this sprawling grass everywhere. No, it's like right there with all the political buildings all around it. Mm. I mean, it's like it's weird. It doesn't, when you go there personally, it doesn't look the way that you think it's going to look.
Yeah.
It's odd.
It doesn't. It seems like out of a Hollywood script, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've never been there myself, but I've heard and I've seen like when they back up away from the White House, it's like, this is kind of weird. You know, mm-hmm. like, I don't know.
Because I mean, you got like the Treasury nearby and you got just, you know, everything's right there. It's right there in the middle of everything.
Mm.
So, I mean, it does have a quite big lawn.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, camera magic, the way they photograph it and the way they film it for newscasts and all that kind of stuff, you think it's like on this sprawling acreages. And it's not. It's right there, metropolitan central.
Huh. You're saying push mower.
Yeah.
So that house is not really a home.
You're saying it's push mower size. Yeah. I mean, heck, we use a riding mower. That's interesting. It does look massive, but.
There are some more.
I mean, it is big, but Yeah, not as big as what you think.
I'd like to see
not,
it.
Not
I'd
the
like
size
to,
of like the Mall of America. Yeah. You know?
Right. I definitely like to see it and kind of, you know, but I know what you're, you know, it's a lot, it's like a lot of things. It's
I'm trying
lot,
to get clearance for the Pentagon, but so far they haven't written me back.
Good luck on that.
Yeah.
This says, President George W. Bush's daughters, Jenna and Barbara, heard opera singing and 1920s piano music Whoa. Coming out of the fireplace in their bedroom. Hmm. We knew it that if any place was haunted, it was this house. We were tried to rationalize it. Jenna wrote in her 2017 memoir with Barbara, Sisters First. When White House butler Buddy Carter asked the girls how they slept, they told him about the mysterious singing and music they heard. Oh, Ms. Jenna, I believe you. You wouldn't believe what I've seen and heard over the years. Buddy hasn't yet told me his ghost stories, but I keep hoping, she wrote. First Lady Michelle Obama said that she and President Barack Obama had heard noises coming from their hallway outside their room. She also said the family members felt an odd sensation as if someone were gnawing at their feet, perhaps the ghost of a White House pet. Mm. I was going to say, there's been lots of pets through there, too.
The other half.
Isn't that weird? Like, what is... Oh, that man, that gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Hedgehogs?
Hedgehog.
Vigorously horny hedgehogs.
Oh. Are we really going to bring that into the White House discussion?
We haven't said that in a while, though. That hasn't come up until That's now right. that Nate brings up. Oh, Nate.
Reference back to what? Crop circles?
And you number. Can't, yeah. And you can't number. Just mention... hedgehogs without saying vigorously horny hedgehogs.
Number 38. I'm going to go with 38.
And our consistent listeners have to get a chuckle out of that because that's right. That is a great episode. That was really, I'm telling you what, that's still, Nate pulled that one out. We were like, what?
Yeah, I found it.
What is
white.
Going on here? That's right, crop circles. Oh, man, that was a good one. That's funny. No, I would like to go check the White House and all the other buildings that I'd be allowed to go in, even the Pentagon. I don't think they're gonna let me in there. I wonder if any of the other buildings are haunted.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I can't even imagine.
You know, I mean, that. Yeah.
Are we gonna do those next?
Yeah, we're gonna do the haunted, haunted Pentagon and haunted Octagon and no. So here is a short little story called "The British Soldier," also called "The Arsonist." It's already a fiery story.
Burn, baby, burn.
Okay, so it says Madison's best-known story is of her saving a famous portrait of George Washington, I've heard of him, when the White House was attacked and burned by British troops during the War of 1812. One of the soldiers who helped light the flames was killed in the scuffle shortly thereafter. His ghost is said to appear on occasion to finish the job once it was seen trying to set fire to a White House bed in the 1950s. So this sucker's still trying to set the thing on fire.
Crazy.
Has to be just, I mean, I would imagine just a
crazy arsonist.
Residual.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Sounds like a, yeah. But, in the 1950s, so he's trying to set the thing on fire again.
We
nice.
Didn't start the fire.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson.
Heard of him, too. TJ.
He plays his violin in the Yellow Oval Room.
Oh.
Violin, huh?
Nice. Speaking of violin, right?
Hmm.
There is a demon cat, and it says the spectral feline.
Well, it's a cat, period, so they're all demons.
Is a cat? Well, that's fair to say. The spectral feline is supposedly seen before a natural disaster. The size of it depends on how close the viewer is to the cat. It starts as a little kitten, but grows even more fierce as one gets closer to it. It reportedly was seen before the stock market crash of 1929 and just before the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, wow.
What in the world? I've never heard of that before. It's pretty wild.
I know we probably have a lot of cat lovers out there. I would never hurt a cat because I do love animals, but you can have them. I'm a dog person.
You can have them.
Now, of course, our next door neighbor, he is a very super nice guy, and he and his mom just passed away, you know, like a year ago or two. But they had cats, and of course, they had kittens, and so there's four or five of them that hang around their house, and then every once in a while. We'll see a couple of them or all of them lounging in our landscape, but they're sweet. They don't mess with anything, and so they're cool. But I'm just not a cat person, but I would never want anything to happen to them, other than if they're a demon cat. Then
a demon cat, yeah, not so much in the demon cat.
Yeah, right. That's a funny story though. What who was it that you said as far as the presidency? Oh, no, before JFK, right?
Yes, yeah. Before the assassination. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, this is there is a crap ton of stories regarding the haunted White House, and you figured there, you know, there's got to be something to it because there's a lot of people that, I mean, not just the well, I would say the main reason would be the presidents themselves. You know, they're not going to just say something goofy like that unless they really saw something that they can't explain. I would imagine,
right?
You know, like we do stories about some haunting or whatever, and then, you know, there's accounts from doctors or police officers or, you know, maybe military personnel that have something to risk by saying that something's haunted or they saw an alien ship. So you think they'd have, yeah. So you think they'd have some, you know, I tend to believe they're, you know, they're credible. I would think. That's my opinion. Anyway, I don't know how you guys feel, but it kind of lends a little more credibility.
I think so. I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see something. I'd like to take a tour.
Mm-hmm.
Nate, you got anything?
I haven't found anything yet.
Mm. Sean,
You have anything? Nothing. No, that goes over a lot of the same like stories that we've been talking about. But I still think it's wild how much history has passed through here, how much it's been destroyed, created, and you know, just the different sightings. Like I said, it still impresses me too that, you know, the people that come in, it truly is the people's house. They used to have, you know, like parties there too. It was very open. And like people would just, you know, they'd almost have to throw people out at a certain point. But can you imagine going in there and like, this is my house. This is the people's house. I'm a taxpayer.
Right.
But, yeah, that's kind of how it was actually for a while. I want to say Andrew Jackson was a big party thrower there and would have people over. But so that is, yeah, it's been a wild place with a lot of wild history through it. So I'm not too surprised that it's such a fantastically haunted. It talks about the different locations around Washington, D.C. that are haunted, and it is obviously the White House is on, like, number one of that list.
Mm-hmm. There's a woman real quick. There's a woman that her name is, oh my gosh, I just lost it. What's going on? Oh, Colleen Shogan, Shogan. She is the senior vice president at the White House Historical Association, and she's also the director of the Rubenstein Center for White House History. She says, there is a lot, and I quote, there's a lot of ghost stories over the years that are attached to the White House. She says she believes there are 10 to 12 ghosts that seem to haunt the White House, and some of them appear or are felt on a more regular basis, while some are only come around at certain times of the year. They don't really get into that, but they just talk about the ones we've already talked about. But she said, but it's just not dead presidents that are reported here. And she talks about the British soldier who died during the burning. You talked about who mentioned Anna Surratt?
Me.
Okay.
That was me.
Yeah. And so she says most ghost stories are rooted in historical fact. She said Anna Surratt did go to the White House and ask for clemency for her mother. And we do know Abraham Lincoln left unfinished business because of his assassination. So, and she says some reports come up with tougher explanations. And that, of course, about the teenage boy, was either 13 or 14 that made some appearances during the administration, during the Howard Taft administration. So I thought, while we were talking about Lincoln, he had unfinished business. He had more that he wanted to accomplish. So I think that's why
that would stand a reason.
Probably, yeah. Just because, yeah, the way he got assassinated and getting assassinated, period. But that's what I'm going with. So I saw that little, when she talked about Lincoln, I was like, oh, I'm going to mention that. Kind of feel a little validated.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I don't have anything else. It's been a good topic, unless you have something else, Sean or Nate. We'll move on.
I found one little thing. I don't know if it happened particularly at the White House, but near. Newspapers once treated stories about ghosts with far less skepticism than they might today. Washington Post article published on August 13th. 1907 describes the police department's effort to address paranormal activity in Georgetown with the headline, Spooks Baffle Police. Despite the vigilance of Captain Schneider and his officers of the 7th Precinct, They continue night after night, their weird and ghost-like tricks. The author wrote, the police are unable to stop the shower of gravel and stones, which appear to be the favorite means of manifestations of these materialistic ghosts, nor are they able to discover whence they came. So apparently they had problems with stones and stuff being thrown.
Mm. You know what they say.
You throw the first stone?
No. Yeah, that's right. He who throws the...
People who live in glass houses, that's I think. Is, but yeah,
I get
what you're saying.
That's a crazy story.
It is.
That's a good way to end it. I like that one. That was good. Good find.
But I found one more. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's good. Hey, wait, that's a good end.
That's a good one. Well, there you go. Hope the creepies enjoyed some haunted stories from the White House. Now,
yes,
Sean,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say middle-aged moment.
I'm going to go with, this is kind of both, but middle-aged moment is what is probably more accurate, to be fair.
Well, that's like, why so we're going to see. We're fair here.
This is, it's funny that we brought this up during the talk, and I was like, oh, that's going to be really appropriate. It is We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel, baby.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
That's all I
nailed it.
Your little joke, right? So, yeah, that's funny. I love the backstory to this, too. Of course, we know this a little bit, but maybe not. We Didn't Start the Fire is a constant reminder that, We Didn't Start the Fire is a constant reminder that no matter how crazy times may seem today, they have always been crazier. And will continue to be crazy as long as life continues to exist. It is a time capsule of political and cultural events that enlighten the listener to the moments that shape Billy Joel's perspective of the world. Particularly striking is the pattern of events that succeeded World War II and led through the beginning, middle, and the end of the Cold War. There are constant reminders that a devastating nuclear war threatened large populaces on the planet, and though you yourself may live in a time of turmoil and struggle, Billy Joel plants the chronological stake that claims his formative years were shrouded by the universal acceptance of legitimate fears of the end of the world. Billy Joel has openly admitted that the structure of the song is basic and not up to par with most of his work. He talks about how... Hold on. I wanted to tell you this funny story. Here it is. It said, the idea spawned from a conversation he had with a friend, Sean Lennon. So John Lennon's son, the friend just had turned 21. So Sean had turned and was complaining about how crazy it was living in this era, therefore undermining any type of time before his. This encouraged Joel to write a song that would prove that any time is filled with extremes. Starting from 1949, the year in which he was born, he chronicled the major events that occurred during the time in a rapid-fire delivery of names. So he said, I started doing this mental exercise. I had turned 40. It was 1989. And I said, okay, what's happening in my life? So he went through and wrote. That's how he kind of came up with all this stuff. So I will give you a quick barrage of this without actually singing it, right? Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Mitchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe, Rosenberg's H-Bomb, Sugar Ray, Panmunjom, or I can't guess. This is going to be hard. I can't do it quick, right? Brando, The King and I, and The Catcher in the Rye, Eisenhower, Vaccine, England's Got a New Queen, Marciano, Liberace, Santayana, Goodbye, We Didn't Start the Fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire, no. We didn't light it. We just tried to fight it. Joseph Stalin, Malenkov, Nasher, and Rockefeller, Campanella, Communist, Bloc.
This is going really good.
This is going great. Roy Cohn, jeez. Juan Perón, Tosca Canani. Okay, I'm going to get Brooklyn's Got a Winning Team. Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland. I forgot how many like foreign names are in here. Disneyland, Bordeaux, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev. Princess Grace, Peyton Place, Trouble in the Suez. We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. And it goes on, and I probably shouldn't go on because there's, oh my gosh, there's so much more. But it goes through the major events, obviously.
Billy Joel's not going to call you to sing that song for him.
Never.
I don't think he's
but think about it.
Sean to fill in for
oh, man.
That was.
I forgot how many. There's so much on here, too.
I'd like to try to sing that like he did, like ripping it off.
How did he do this, man? Like birth control, Ho Chi Minh, Richard Nixon's back again.
Hoochie Mama, what'd you say?
Moonshot.
Oh, Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh, yeah. That's some Vietnam right there. No. Sorry. What did I say? Ho Chi Minh?
No, I said, you said Hoochie Mama.
Gosh.
That's awesome.
We've had a lot of history. You know that? Can you imagine if he wrote another like one from the end of the song to now? Gosh.
That's great. That is a good song.
Kaboom.
I'm not a big Billy Joel fan, but when I like his songs, I really like them. Mm-hmm. I thought, as a kid, that was very clever. And I didn't know a lot of it, but I knew enough of it, what he was trying to say.
If you haven't listened to it, get the full effect, go listen to it.
No, Sean's going to put his rendition out on iTunes.
We didn't stumble over the song. Yeah, we did.
Well, that was a...
I did.
As I burp. That was a good pick. That was a good pick. And well...
well,
produced. I was say well done, but I can't say that.
You got the idea.
No, thank you for that, Sean.
We got the gist, right?
We know how we have to razz you. Good job on that. Sean, second announcements, please.
You razz me because I got the razzmatazz. Is that what it is?
The razzmatazz.
Second part of the announcements, you can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned, and or your business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
Not bad.
Oh, I thought you were going to
be not good either.
Shocked. Well,
it's better than this the last moment. No, <I'm just> poor Sean.
Bleh.
I tell you what.
No, I'm okay.
He's like, he'll go home.
That's nice.
That's nice.
That's good. Thank you, Sean, for that. Excellent job, as always. Nate, my man to my right.
Yes.
What do you have, sir?
Well, we didn't start the fire, and that's a wrap.
That is true.
We put it out, though.
thank goodness the fire
doused.
Is put out. Yeah, we can do that. Thank you, Nate. And thank you, Creepies, as always, for listening to our episode 141 and our fun, interesting, and historical talk on the White House. And until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.